This is HDN.
Friday, October the 24th.
Give or take.
Yeah, Jamie and Lisa in the Beaver Bank Bunker.
It's the weekend. That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
Coming up next week, next Thursday, I do believe, it's feedback time. Remember, we were telling you about the proposed new dog park to replace Africville, the off-leash dog park, and they're proposing to put it in the mainland common up by the Canada Center, the Canada Games Center.
I drove up there looking for it.
Right.
And I had that little map there that they had on the press release. I had no idea where anything was. Like from above, you can't tell what building is what and which road is where. So I have no idea.
Yeah, I think they may require a bit of signage to go along with this.
Oh, but, yeah.
Coming up on Thursday at the forum in the Maritime Hall building from 6 until 9, you can give feedback. They're going to have some more details on what exactly is going to be involved. Now, if you heard us discussing this earlier, it's a section of land that's sort of in behind the main field. And I think it's already fenced in totally right now.
By the Canada Games Center, you know, that building with the slide sticking out the side of it. Well, yeah. You turn in there and it's somewhere up there.
Up there, yeah. So they want to get feedback next Thursday night on thoughts and feelings regarding where it's going to go. And, I mean, they got to move quick because they did promise the Africville Genealogy Society that December 31st that the dog owners would be vacating the park. So get out there and give your feelings. If you can't make it, you can also email your submissions to the city as well and just sort of let them know what's going down.
I think they've got it.
I think they do as well.
I think they've got it.
Yeah, and the fact that it's next to a stand of trees, sort of a forested area that is going to be enclosed as well. So that is going to be part of the dog park in the spring. I think that's an added bonus. I think that's going to be a great addition.
Now, that whole forested area, is that city property or is that going to be condos eventually? That's the one thing I'm worried about, is because there's a lot of construction going on
there is
around that area.
Yeah, no, my understanding, I mean, it's all part of the mainland commons, so that is preserved land. So there's no, don't worry, they're not going to be uprooting us to build a condo there anytime soon. So we have our winners from the Lay's potato chip competition.
Did you try all of the flavors?
No, I didn't this time around.
I brought all of the flavors to poker.
Okay.
And I opened them all up, and the mac and cheese was the number one among the poker players. But a lot of them said, you know what, they already have this flavor.
Mm-hmm.
It's called cheddar jalapeno, and it tasted exactly the same.
Yeah.
So they just called it something different and put it out. The least favorite was the cinnamon bun one.
Yeah, makes sense.
You have to be in the mood for it. You can't just, you know, you can't dip it in onion dip or anything.
Well, the winners have been announced, and the poker buddies, they called it right. The jalapeno mac and cheese has won. Now, it's interesting to note, they did this in the States as well.
Yeah.
Different, totally different flavors. And it was the wasabi ginger that won the contest in the U.S. The flavor that flopped down in the States? Cappuccino.
Ew.
Yeah, can you imagine?
Ew.
Ew. But there must have been something somewhere because it made the top four. I mean, it's...
Well, so did that cinnamon bun thing.
Yeah, I know.
Isn't that funny? I remember the worst. I remember the best.
Yeah.
I don't remember what the other two even were.
The ones in the middle.
Yeah.
I won't rest until they have Halifax Donair flavor. That will be good.
But would you put it just the meat flavor and then dip it in Donair sauce? Or would you have the sauce in there as well?
No, I think you would have to... You would have to have it all combined in one. I think it would taste very similar to the Donair dip that I make.
No, nothing tastes like your Donair dip, my dear. That's famous.
Speaking of famous tastes, I guess Halifax has got some of the best drinking water around. 17 entries into a water taste testing event, and they came from municipalities across the region, and turns out, first place, J.D. Klein Water Treatment in Halifax. We've got the best tasting water around. Moncton's Turtle Creek came in second, and New Waterford and East Hants tied for third. But the judges actually were from all over, including the American Wastewater Association. So they were North American wide, and they treated this, like, to watch them do it. It was almost like a wine tasting. They would swish the water around in a wine glass, and they would smell the bouquet, and
Well, they had to. They had to justify their existence. They had to pretend they were actually doing something. It was freaking water.
Kind of interesting. They scored all of the entries as well, and some of the comments. Well, you know what? Some of the comments the scorecards include phrases like a hint of chlorine, earthy, smooth, light
chlorine. The bouquet of fecal matter, I find, is not quite evident, but it is still there, reminiscent of the old days of the harbor.
So I guess we would be remiss if we didn't take a moment to reflect on what has taken place in Ottawa over the last couple of days. In particular, I think I'd like to focus or at least bring up some of the lesser known side stories that have come up as a result of this. Mm-hmm. In particular, let's talk about the cartoon, Bruce MacKinnon, proving once again that he is the best in the country at editorial cartoons.
I do believe I saw that on CNN. I know I saw it on CBC, but what a great cartoon. If you didn't see it, they have the war memorial, the statue with all the soldiers there. Mm. The soldiers were leaning down to help the fallen soldier up.
Yeah.
And just as dramatic was one, I believe it was the Montreal Gazette. It was a Montreal newspaper. The cartoon was a big Canadian flag, big red and white and with bullet holes. Every bit as dramatic, but not as heart-tugging as the MacKinnon cartoon was.
And, you know, that's what Bruce does best. You know, we are so lucky to have him here in Halifax. He is one of those talents that very easily could have picked up roots and gone to Toronto in a heartbeat, but chose to stay here. And, like I said, proving once again that he is one of the best in the nation. One of the other things, too, a bit of audio that's gone viral is of Rogers reporter Cormac McSweeney. And this made the rounds down in the States to sort of showcase just how polite Canadians are, even in a time of great distress. We take a moment to say thank you. And it was an audio clip of Cormac, who was caught up in the gunfire right there in Parliament Hill. He was there, you know, reporting that day when it happened. And as they were all being ushered out, you could hear the emotion in his voice that he was definitely shaken. He was definitely scared. And was
as
asking,
anybody would be in that situation.
But, you know, asking, well, where do we go? Where do we go? And you hear just sort of muffled off in the distance instructions on where to go. And the next thing you hear is Cormac saying, thank you. And off he goes. And the Americans just took that and ran with it.
Where do we go? Where do we go? Where do I go? This way? Okay, thank you. Any other time, we're apologizing. See, that's one step up.
Either we say thank you or I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, he didn't say I'm sorry. So obviously he was distressed a bit, but at least we're still very thankful.
Oh, God. So, yeah, nice to see the Americans cash in on that one. Another one, too, that really just tugged at the heartstrings. I heard an interview on CBC's As It Happens with a woman. I think her name was Barbara Wilson. She was on Parliament Hill heading off to a meeting and had her camera in her purse and stopped at the War Memorial to snap a picture of the soldiers there and the War Memorial before she scooted off to her meeting. And just as she left the scene, that's when the gunfire started. And she turned around and ran back and was one of five or six people who were trying to administer first aid. And her account of just how she tried to comfort Nathan Cirillo in, you know, what ended up being his final moments, it is probably the most compelling radio I have heard in a long time. Look it up if you can. It's on CBC's website, and I have a feeling it's going to be making the rounds big time on social media, because if you are not moved by this, you do not have a heart.
What gets me, and I mean, how tragic, how absolutely tragic, in order to get the position of guarding the war memorial, like that's such an honor.
Oh, yeah. Well, and he
doesn't
was a reservist.
Around, yeah, but aren't they like the reserves and or different battalions and like from across Canada, everybody gets their turn guarding the war memorial.
It's
very ceremonial.
Yeah.
And they do it for a week, but it's only the pick of the crop. And I mean, how proud a moment would that be? And that's the last thing in the world you would ever think. You know, it's not like you're going off to war. You're going to Ottawa.
No. Yeah.
It's this vacation. It's there. You get all these pictures taken. How wonderful. And he was just so young and just so, I mean, it was so sad. Now, having said all of that, mm-hmm. there's one thing that I do have to say that really gets me. Mm. You know, we are so lucky to be living in North America. A lot of people are saying, what's wrong with Canada? And, we're not even safe here. There are countries in this world, a lot mm-hmm. of countries in this world, where something like that is known as
Tuesday.
Yeah. There are vehicles blowing up. There are bombs. There are missiles. And every once in a while, you get something like that here. There was one person who was shot and killed. Nobody deserves to die.
Mm-mm.
He certainly didn't deserve that. But the entire nation, and not just Canada, but the United States. I heard the Australian Prime Minister speaking about it and the British. I mean, everybody is saying it because of the symbolism of that one person.
Person, absolutely.
But we have to think about all the thousands of people that are dying on a regular basis in war-torn countries.
But, you know, it also makes us realize, too, that the foreign policy decisions that we make here in Canada have repercussions here in Canada. You know, we can't sign up for these missions and piggyback on the United States and rah, 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 let's go get those ISIS dudes and not realize that there will be repercussions. Speaking of the United States, did you see any of the coverage that was down in the States? I was surprised.
Oh, yes, of course because...
Yes, Anderson Cooper. But yeah. See, I was quite surprised that CNN went balls to the wall on that one. I thought they might...
That's the kind of thing that CNN likes. They like Timmy down the well. They like these stories. There was one person, one young, attractive, innocent person that was killed by these horrible people.
These radicalized Islamists.
And that's what CNN likes.
Yeah. It was interesting last night, too, watching, watching their coverage out of the corner of my eye. They had the name of the shooter and were spreading that around and his Islamic leadings long before anybody in Canada did. Say what you will about the public broadcaster, but a lot of people are saying they got it right yesterday with their coverage.
CBC?
Yeah, the website Mother Jones, they gave, you know, absolute kudos and basically said if there's a journalism class on how to cover breaking news, they should just package that tape and give it to the students and say, here's how it's done. Peter Mansbridge being very calm, very calculated, you know, and being very careful in his coverage.
Well, certainly, of course. He's a pro.
Yeah, and there wasn't the wild speculation that you would get on a CNN, you know, talking about it's radical Islamists and our sources are telling us.
Evan Solomon was there. He saw Nathan Cirillo being shot. He was there as they were performing CPR.
Really? Okay, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, he kept saying that. I mean, so it was one of those things where, well, we can't really say this for sure, and we can't really say that for sure. One thing that we can say for sure, because Evan Solomon was there, was that they were performing CPR. He had been shot. And so they did have the scoop on all the other networks because they were, in fact, right there.
Just to let you in a little bit of inside information with regards to CBC policy, they have to have two witnesses, two confirmations before they can go with a story. So
even if it's the actual announcer himself that saw it?
That's one. So they need somebody else to confirm it.
Before you can make it official, you need two sources, definitely. I understand that.
Yeah.
But if the announcer saw it himself, can he not go on there and tell what he saw?
He can tell what he saw, but certainly has to temper it by saying, listen, we cannot confirm. But,
yeah, and he did say that. He didn't say, he said, I can't confirm, we don't know the condition or this.
Absolutely.
But what I can say is what I saw because I was there and he went on about that.
Yeah.
But it is scary when something like that happens.
Well, and certainly when, something the next day leads to the lockdown of the entire downtown Halifax core because some idiot is marching around with a gun and leaves it on a transit bus. I mean, that's,
Yeah, that's the douchebag of the... No, that's the knob of the day. We're going to have douchebag of the week, knob of the day.
But...
But did you see Harper? in the House of Commons.
That was the most incredible display. You know, as much as I disagree with Stephen Harper's policies and how he's been running the country for the last X number of years, I do say what he did in the House of Commons yesterday was absolutely remarkable. I mean, first of all, his address when he stood up was definitely inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
But then for him to, you know, march across the floor and shake the hand of the sergeant-at-arms, Vickers, who is hailed as the hero of this entire thing, classy all the way. Then for him to continue to cross the floor, not only shake Trudeau's hand, but to embrace him, to hug him,
mm-hmm.
and to walk down the aisle and do the same with Mulcair. That was unprecedented. I'd never seen anything like that ever.
Yeah, call me skeptical. But I can smell an election coming up.
Okay.
You know.
And
on that happy note, go have yourselves a weekend. We'll be back on Monday.
Until then.